You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
Got a lot to cover today here on the Gym Class program. We welcome you in the mid between Christmas and New Year's week. It's always kind of an interesting one, and even more interesting this year. We welcome you aboard Gym Class for this Monday on KGYM. Scott Unash with you from our studios. Buttons on the other side of the glass. Mark Dukes from his home on the southwest side. We'll check in with Mark coming up in a moment. Plenty to get to. No bowl game for Iowa later on this week. Iowa State's bowl is still on. The Hawkeyes' season is over with a record of 6-2. NFL from yesterday, we've got Mike Colas to talk with. We've got Iowa basketball to take a look back to losing a 7-point lead in the last moments of the game up at Williams Arena in Minneapolis. And your comments are welcome at 319-366-1600. That's the text line available to you. That's the phone line as well if you'd like to chime in via the phone line at 319-366-1600. Mark joins us, the post-Christmas edition, if you will, and happy holidays to you. You made it through okay as we get ready to now turn our attention to a storm that will be brewing and coming in tomorrow, allegedly.
Yeah, good afternoon. Thanks for asking. I had a very good Christmas with son's daughter's family, and it was refreshing after we made a different decision on Thanksgiving. And you know what? It came off very well, I thought, and hopefully everybody out there had a good Christmas, no matter how you spend it. And yeah, let's get on with things because everybody's got to get to the grocery store, right?
Oh, it would be one of those days. Boy, do we miss Dave Fransman in front of Channel 9 with the snow shovel, don't we? That got Button's attention right there. He misses that. He misses Dave Fransman out in front of Channel 9 with the snow shovel talking about the great snowstorm that will be coming. But at any rate, depending on where you are at, it's a winter storm warning or a winter storm watch, and that will start tomorrow afternoon and could see anywhere from, it's a pretty wide guesstimation right now, between, 3 and 8 inches, is that right, Buttons? He's looking, yeah, he's shaking his head, 3 to 8 inches, somewhere in there. So there you go. To close out 2020, nothing better than to have a good old-fashioned snowstorm, and it seems almost kind of appropriate, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. We may be able to name this one, huh?
We might be able to name this one, and maybe that's a step toward normalcy, I guess. I don't know, to have a Midwestern winter storm come through, but we'll see. We'll see. 319-366-1600. That is a text line, 319-366-1600, and so much on the table, Mark, and not necessarily leftovers either, if you will, from the holidays and before we get to New Year's. But I guess we start with the latest of the stories, and that breaking yesterday afternoon. About this time, in fact, about 24 hours ago, the University of Missouri had a news conference and announcing the fact that they were going to shut down their football operations. They would not be able to take part in the Music City Bowl that will be or was scheduled to be played coming up on Wednesday. By the way, without the bowl game, of course, that nixes the bowl game and nixes Before the Boom here on KGYM. And we will have local programming come your way on Wednesday for you right here on KGYM starting at 3 o'clock. But I think it is not necessarily a surprise. And if it was a surprise to anybody out there, then you probably weren't paying a great deal of attention. And this game was kind of in jeopardy from the very start. And I will say this, though, with everybody piling on Missouri, yes, Missouri had the COVID problems late. Keep in mind, Iowa had the COVID problems a week ago and had to shut down the football program. So before you start throwing, what is the old saying, before you start throwing rocks in glass houses, things like that, Mark. But anyway, we're not going to play this football game.
No, and it's unfortunate because a lot of Iowa fans wanted one last look at this 2020 team that has won six games in a row, a heavy favorite against Missouri. This coming Wednesday afternoon, I think a lot of folks were just going to tune in and enjoy one last game, but that's not going to happen. In my mind, it's not the end of the world. I mean, we've been through so much in 2020. What's a football game, right? And I think you make a good point about, you know, piling on Missouri. It does no good. Yeah, it was Missouri that caused the latest problem to cancel the game. But, yeah, it was a week ago. Folks were thinking it was in peril because of Iowa. Well, Iowa was going to be shorthanded for the game, but they were going to play. And a lot of good reading at the St. Louis Dispatch by Dave Motter. Read this afternoon a fact and fiction piece by him about Missouri. It really traces in their mind to a December 18-19 trip to Starkville, Mississippi to play Mississippi State. At that time, Missouri only had one positive test, and that player didn't make that trip. Then Missouri made the decision to send players home for Christmas. Wise, you know, that's for you to judge, but the players came back. Probably unlikely they were going to test test positive one or two days after return from Christmas. And frankly, according to Dave Motter, once again, a lot of the coaches and staff who tested positive in the last 8 days didn't leave campus for Christmas. So a lot of fiction, some fact in that, camp, Missouri camp. And when Missouri accepted the bowl bid, it still had only one known positive test in the program. So at the time of accepting the bid, and if you want to say Missouri wanted to dodge this game from the start, no, they accepted the bid. They wanted to right some wrongs that had happened the last three games in which they allowed like 50 points a game. But the bottom line is it's not going to be played. Pile on Missouri all you want. It's to me, it's like piling on the officials' pass interference penalty and late in the fourth quarter that you might say it cost you the game.
Yeah. 319-366-1600. John does not agree. He says, I knew Missouri would cancel their bowl game against Iowa. They just flat out do not want to play Iowa anymore. I think there's still a lot of bad feelings toward the Tigers and the Mizzou football program going back, which has been, well, it was 10 years ago, Iowa and Missouri met in the Insight Bowl, and it was around that same time that Iowa and Missouri were scheduled to play a regular season football game, and Missouri backed out of it, instead scheduling Arkansas State to play when Missouri football wasn't going very well. And I think a lot of people are still very unhappy about that. And quite frankly, Kirk Ferentz wasn't very happy about that at the time. I think understood, but was not happy as far as the decision was concerned. 8787 with an interesting question on the text line as well, Mark, if you have it up.
Do the Hawks still get paid bowl money? Well, I believe up to now all the bowl money is pooled and divided between the 14 teams, among the 14 teams. So with this game not being played, obviously no bowl revenue, I don't think. I mean, I don't have the absolute certain answer, but that's my opinion.
I believe that is the case. I believe that is the case, even though that the game is not played. 319-366-1600 at coming up on 14 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock. What does this all mean? It means that yesterday, with the writing on the wall, you had two Hawkeyes officially say that they were not going to play in the bowl game, even if it went. Amir Smith-Marset and Brandon Smith are both getting ready for the NFL draft. Now, today, Alaric Jackson has come out and said that he is now getting ready for the NFL draft. Sean Beyer earlier had said that with his invitation to a postseason workout that he also is looking ahead to the NFL draft. And I think you're going to find that not only at Iowa, but in most of the cases as far as the Power Five schools are concerned. You do have a chance to come back next year, but I think most of the seniors are probably going to either opt to try their hand at the NFL or just move on and move on to the next phase of their life. There are exceptions, like the Miami quarterback, King, who said he's going to come back next year. Miami's got a very good team lined up and ready to go, and he wants to be part of that. Now, keep in mind, his draft stock is not super high at this point. I think he would benefit from another year. So that is what he has elected to do. But I think for the most part, most of the seniors are probably not going to be back next year.
I think so, too. And those three players, Amir Smith, Marsette, Brandon Smith, and Larrick Jackson, all three are seniors. And I guess they felt it was necessary to make these announcements because technically you could come back for another year under NCAA rules that were passed during this COVID season. But we'll see how those guys grade out. And we'll have Dan Strunk of ourlads.com on before long to talk about the NFL draft. But, the next question is Davion Nixon, who today was named a first-team AP All-America. Will he decide to go out? So he was prepared to play in the bowl game.
Yes.
We saw pictures of him in practice. So whether that's the next shoe to drop, we'll see.
Kirk did talk about Davion Nixon yesterday, that he has talked with him about his future. If you, again, read the tea leaves, to me it sounds like Davion Nixon's probably not going to play again for the Hawkeyes. That seeing his name as far as the top 10 is concerned in some of the mock drafts, that's going to get your attention out there, and I can't blame the young man. And we'll talk about the AP All-American selections for Iowa and Iowa State coming up here in a moment. Kirk said he has not talked and spoke to Tyler Linderbaum yet, one-on-one, about his future. But he let it be known that he believes Linderbaum's going to come back for his junior campaign. Remember, he's only a redshirt sophomore. He is eligible to go out. You need to be in college for 3 years. He is eligible to go into the NFL draft. But Kirk's usually got a pretty good pulse on his program. And if he gives the indication that a player might probably be coming back, I guess you got to take him for his word.
Yeah, you make a good point with Nixon. When you're in the top 10 or 15 of the mock drafts, not that those are anything that, set in stone. When you see your name in that company, that's got to be very attractive to a player. Some guys, enjoy the college experience, but that only goes so far. If you're in the top 10 or 15, man, you really got to take a look at the next level. And as far as Linderbaum goes, I think he'd be highly rated as well. I don't know how high. Larrick Jackson, I think, is thought of as a second or third day guy. His stock not extremely high. Not to say he won't, make some money in the NFL. I don't know about Smith Marsette and Brandon Smith. They certainly have some talent. Smith Marsette is a more well-rounded player, I think, with his kick returning ability, but it'll be interesting to see how those guys develop and perhaps get a shot in the NFL.
319-366-1600 at 318. AP All-American team. It is All-American Team Week, Mark, coming out. And you've been doing this a long time. I've been doing this a long time. I do not recall six State of Iowa players being included on AP All-American teams or any All-American team in the past, but that was the case today. So stand up and take a bow, Matt Campbell and Kirk Ferentz and all of your coaches out there.
Yeah, especially Matt Campbell. He had four AP All-America selections. Breece Hall, a first-team running back. They only picked two on the first team. Breece Hall, a first-teamer. Mike Rose, second-team linebacker. And on the third team, Jaquan Bailey and Charlie Kolar, the tight end, who is very dynamic, I think, has a high ceiling in the NFL. As far as Iowa goes, we said Nixon first team AP All-America, and Linderbaum, second team.
Yeah, there you go. So some very good accolades today out there. 319-366-1600. 0835, the Scouts have Smith Marset as the 57th best player and rated as a late second, early third. So that would put him in the second day. Late second day, early third day. There. Well, no. Second and third rounds are now the same day, if I recall my draft thinking here. So probably a second day guy out there. And I think you're right. The kick returning and the punt returning is going to be a big plus for Amir Smith-Marset at the next level.
Yeah, I agree. And you mentioned a good haul with a half a dozen players from the two universities. And I don't recall, I haven't dug into this, but when Iowa and Iowa State each had a first-team AP All-America, the last AP All-American for Iowa State was running back Troy Davis, who was on the first team back-to-back years in 95 and 96. And then, you know, it's few and far between going back on the list that I'm looking back in the 60s and 50s. So it's a rarity at a minimum that Iowa and Iowa State have both have first-team All-Americans.
Yeah, pretty cool stuff out there. 320, your comments welcome at 319-366-1600. That is our text line. Phone line available as well at 319-366-1600. Just to update you on the weather here, staff meteorologist Buttons, they have upgraded it to most of eastern Iowa now. Benton, Lynn, Johnson, Jones, and Iowa counties, you are now under the winter storm warning. Mark, here you go. I will quote the National Weather Service. A band of 6 to 9 inches is forecast to set up for areas along and north of a line from Milledgeville to Iowa City to Sigourney. Late,
alrighty then.
Late Tuesday afternoon through the night on into Wednesday morning. Peak snowfall rates are likely to mean 1 to 1.5 inches per hour. So there you go, ladies and gentlemen. Enjoy. Oh, boy. So that starts tomorrow afternoon. 319-366-1600 is we get to deal with that. But it is now a winter storm warning for most everyone around the KGYM listening area. We're going to talk to Mike Colas here in about 12 minutes or so. Mike was in Minneapolis on Christmas Day for our next subject to discuss, and that is Iowa basketball. As the Hawkeyes, they fall to number 10 in the AP poll today after the very frustrating loss on Christmas night to the Minnesota Golden Gophers. Iowa, the 7-point lead with less than a minute to play in the basketball game, and a combination of missed free throws and big-time hoops by Minnesota tied the game. Again, brought up the always fun conversation, should you foul a player in the opposing team with a 3-point lead? I was never in favor of that, Mark, and you know that I have completely done a 180 over the last year and a half. I say you do. Iowa did not. Came back to Burnham, and Marcus Carr and Johnson are still hitting 3-pointers somewhere in Minneapolis today.
Yeah, I know it's a dilemma for maybe a lot of coaches. Just say, you know, I'm not going to foul, period. But there is an argument to be made for, you know, Joe Toussaint, who had made 4 big free throws to keep the margin a 2-score game, and then he missed 2 with 14.9 seconds left. So it was a 3-point game. When you have Marcus Carr and Brandon Johnson hitting threes the way they were, you could make an argument for fouling before they could get a shot up, or foul someone else who would be. But then you have the thing where make the first, Minnesota rebounds, puts it back in, or make 2 and they steal the inbounds. All kinds of things can happen. But, I'd be interested to see what people think. Are you a favor fouling in the waning seconds. Carr got fouled with 5.7 seconds left, and Iowa didn't get up a shot in regulation. So it went to overtime. Of course, Johnson hit another three. He hit 8 out of 9 after making only 2 all year. How does that happen? Well,
basketball. Can I pull a Kirk there? It's basketball.
Very much so. Very much so. You're going to see that from time to time. But the defense didn't help in many spots on the part of Iowa.
No, certainly is the case. 319-366-1600 if you would like to weigh in. Again, that's 319-366-1600. Yes, 6429. We know the Weather Channel stole our shtick of naming the storms, but if it's a big one, as forecast, we will name it. We will have our own name to it. Early indications as far as college basketball, especially in the Big Ten, buckle up, everybody, because it's going to be a bumpy ride, especially if you are a road team. I believe one road team has won so far early in the Big Ten. So crowds or not, it is still very difficult to win in an opposing arena in the Big Ten Conference. And how about the Northwestern Wildcats at 3-0 so far in Big Ten play? And that they're legit. After watching their game, I believe against Ohio State over the weekend, that is a legit basketball team.
Well, I think so too, but Vegas doesn't really believe that. And when it comes to tomorrow night's game, Iowa favored by about 12 points in the places that I have looked. That doesn't mean everything, of course, but Northwestern plays a bit of a different style of basketball. And, you know, listen, we're going to talk for 20 straight games. We're going to be talking about what a tough game it's going to be. By the way, it's the first time, I forget where I read this so I could credit it, maybe Matt Weitzel from the University of Iowa, first time ever in the long history of Iowa and Northwestern playing basketball, they will match up as top 25 teams.
And that's pretty amazing right there. Yeah, Northwestern getting into the top 25. And yeah, lo and behold, the Cats come in to Iowa City tomorrow night to take on the Iowa Hawkeyes. David and Hudson, breaching the subject for the first time today, just play better defense. Was that a worse defensive performance that Iowa had on Christmas against Minnesota than it was against Gonzaga? I say it was because you didn't have the athletes, and no offense to Minnesota, but you did not have the athletes going 94 feet up and down the court that Gonzaga presents and has out there. Iowa just was late rotating. Iowa was late getting out to three-point shooters. And like I said, that last 40 seconds plus was just was not something to write home about. But Luka Garza said after the game, defense has got to get better. Others said after the game, the defense has got to get better. And there's no doubt about it, because Minnesota is a good basketball team. They're not the best team in the Big Ten, although the Gophers did sneak into the top 25, I believe, as well today in the AP poll.
Yeah, and I think it's transition defense where Iowa has been hurt the most. We saw that in the Gonzaga game. We saw it again in the Minnesota game. Transition defense and three-point field goal defense, because, I mean, Iowa rebounded Minnesota by like 16. You know, when you do that, and what? 15, 16, 17, maybe more offensive rebounds. You're going to win a lot of games, if not most of them, when you do something like that. But the transition and three-point defense, Minnesota hit 17 three-point goals. You know, is Johnson going to hit 8 out of 9 every game? No, maybe the only time he ever will. But he did it this time.
Very true, very true. We're going to talk to our friend Kevin Lehman coming up on Wednesday with our latest segment, Off the Glass. He was on the call of the UNI game yesterday. Panthers with a tough second half and losing to Missouri State, and they play him again coming up tonight. But here is what Kevin and Nick Nurse says as far as fouling with a three-point lead. Kevin said there was too much time left to foul. My rule was up three with 6 seconds or less, then foul. With 14 seconds left, too difficult. And Nick Nurse's study overwhelmingly shows fouling under six when up three is the way to go, 87% success rate. And Nick Nurse has won an NBA championship.
Marcus Carr hit his shot with 5.7 seconds left.
So it would have been under six, but he was shooting at that point.
Tucson missed the free throws with 15 seconds left, and then Carr took his shot and made it with 5.7. So, yeah, I get it.
Make your free throw.
Yeah, just make one, and we wouldn't be having this debate.
It's a simple solution to the problem. And I'm not throwing in at Joe Toussaint. Joe Toussaint played great against Gonzaga, played very well against Minnesota, and is usually a very good free throw shooter. Missed a couple. And I think that's the way it goes. 14-24, Iowa can score, but they are beyond soft defensively. Playing defense is a mindset. This team lacks it. David and Hudson again coming back. They always say the defense has got to get better, but have you seen it get better? It always looks the same.
Andy on the text line, it was frustrating watching Garza repeatedly switch off onto the ball on a high post screen in Wieskamp, ending up guarding the 7-foot Robbins rolling to the basket.
Oh, that was the thing that maybe frustrated me more than anything was Iowa's inability to communicate on ball screens. There were at least three times where Iowa players went underneath ball screens, and you got to fight your way through it. You cannot leave a shooter. You can't leave anybody in college basketball anymore on a ball screen. Go underneath it and give them a wide open look. And exactly what Andy was talking about as well was very frustrating. And that's what 98-43 is talking about. I'm no John Wooden, but Iowa's always been soft going through screens on defense. Other teams practically knocked the screener with nothing called over. But we are afraid to touch them and end up going underneath and allow the shooter space. Amen. There's nothing more you can say.
27-94 until Iowa learns to play better defense. Then I think you have to foul at the end of the game and take your chances.
Yeah. Well, we're going to talk more about Iowa basketball and Iowa football. Mike Halas is going to join us coming up next here at 3:32. And he was there at Williams Arena, one of the few. There wasn't even family and friends that were gathered up at the barn the other night on Christmas for Iowa and Minnesota. We'll talk with Mike when we return. You're listening to the Gym Class at 3:32 right here on KGYM.
Your home has become an even more important part of your life. So give yourself the gift of a more inviting space with elegant cabinetry from Decora or Kemper. Whether you're envisioning a gleaming new kitchen, a more functional home office, or upgraded closets, the designers at Alexander Lumber will make you even happier to be home. Talk with them today about Decora and Kemper cabinets at Alexander Lumber, 4340 420th Street, or Answers by Alexander, 1534 South Gilbert Street, both in Iowa City.
Linn County Public Health wants you to be a bad host for the holidays. A host is a person like you, and COVID is flying around looking for a good one to settle in. Don't give it the chance. Protect your family and friends by choosing virtual get-togethers this season. If you do gather with others, keep the group very small and follow all the recommended guidelines. Wear a mask, maintain social distance, and follow the 3 C's. Cover your cough, clean your hands, contain germs. Stay home when you're sick. Get more info at lynncounty.org/health.
At American Family Insurance, we know it takes many moving parts to make your house a home, and we're here to protect them all. With our innovative and comprehensive coverage options, we can build you a straightforward policy that truly protects what matters most, so you can stay focused and dreaming towards what's next. Ready to get the coverage you deserve?
See Kurt Gustafson at Kurt Gustafson Agency, your American Star Certified Agency. Excellence in customer experience.
Yes, I'm a dreamer.
American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Menards is the place to shop for all of your bathroom projects. For a new, large, and modern shower, check out the Sterling Ensemble. Sterling showers are durable and easy to clean and come in a variety of sizes to fit your existing bathroom. The Sterling Ensemble is $499.97 each. Stop waiting and start saving on all of your plumbing and bathroom needs at Menards. Prices are good through January 2nd.
Save big money at Menards.
Back in the gym class here on KGYM at 3:34, a reminder that we all need a little strength right now, which is why KGYM has teamed up with Bergen KDV to bring you ICR Strength. It's our way of showing how much we believe in this community, the businesses, the people, and the possibility. Find out more by going to our website at kgymradio.com. Coming up tonight, Cyclone Coaches Show, and that will be at 6:30 tonight. On 1600 AM at 102.3 FM. 6:30 tonight, 107.5, 106.3 FM. It'll be the final Monday Night Football game of the year, as it'll be Buffalo and New England going at it. Big game for the Buffalo Bills as far as getting the number two seed is concerned in the AFC. They are tied with Pittsburgh right now with three losses right there. And again, we'll have that game for you right here on KGYM. It's Monday, and that means time to talk with our friend Mike Colas of the Cedar Rapids Gazette. You can read his stuff at thegazette.com. Give him a follow on Twitter, at Colas. And he was up at Williams Arena on Christmas. And that's the Mike, did Santa, when you got back, or before you left, did Santa bring you everything that that you had hoped for?
Scott, I'm a pagan, so that doesn't really apply to me.
I hope you have, or he brought you a working snowblower, because it sounds like we're going to need it over the next 48 hours.
I couldn't get up my hill last night.
Yeah, that was slippery last night.
Oh God, I don't want to talk about it, but it was. Yeah, I looked pretty stupid trying to get up that hill.
Oh man, you and everybody else, I think.
Mainly me.
Made it out last night. No doubt about that. But that was an opportunity lost, obviously, on Christmas. Let's start with basketball. You were there at Williams Arena. And crowds or no crowds, the early indications and early results in the Big Ten, it is still hard to win on the road. And Iowa had a golden opportunity, and it slipped out of their fingers.
Yeah, it's not as hard as it was last year, I don't think. I mean, last year I remember the first week of the season. I think home teams won every game except one, and that was Michigan State at Northwestern. They haven't won many more this time around, but there are no fans. If that Iowa-Minnesota game had been played before 13,000 fans in Williams Arena, I think Minnesota would have won in regulation and maybe going away. But it's so weird when a Minnesota player made a nice play and scored, and then you just heard the applause from players clapping their hands, and it's like you didn't even know who the home team was. They didn't even let parents into this game up there, so it was just the most peculiar thing. But yeah, you say the one that got away, and it's a cliche, but Iowa's players are saying it. They said it again today in a Zoom conference. They let it get away, and the trick is live and learn. So they got to go back to doing what they did against Purdue.
Mike, we've been debating the last 15 seconds of the game when Joe Toussaint missed two free throws and gave Minnesota possession, and Marcus Carr makes a three-pointer with 5.7 left, debating whether you foul in that situation. And we heard from Kevin Lehman, our regular weekly guest, that he subscribes to the theory proposed by Nick Nurse of the Toronto Raptors, that if you're up three with 6 seconds left, then you go ahead and foul. I understand there's no guarantee either way. What are your thoughts on that subject?
Yeah, I've heard both sides of this for years now, and I mean, if you can foul Carr without him getting a shot off, that's great. You know, that doesn't mean that you're going to win the game. Mm-hmm. You can make two free throws and et cetera. But I think, the way that those guys were shooting threes, I think that you got to consider doing it. But, you know, look, if Carr misses the shot, you're a genius. You win. If Toussaint makes one of the two free throws, or if Frederick had made both of his free throws a little earlier, you win the game in all likelihood. And you didn't D up. And in the overtime, you didn't D up at all. And there were just so many factors that went into that that I'm not going to lay it on a strategy move that you can make an argument for.
It's just, it's a bitter pill to swallow. And I'm with you. The Iowa players are still trying to get it behind them. And they better get it behind them quick, because the leader is coming in tomorrow night. But all those offensive rebounds that you got, and so many things that did go your way in that game, and to still come away with a loss is just, that's a tough one.
I know. I mean, I'm sure watching at home, you were thinking the same thing I was in that arena with 45 seconds left and they're up seven. And it's like, this is a great win. I mean, they were down 12 in the first half and they clawed out of the hole and they asserted themselves in the second half and they played well down the stretch until that final minute. Toussaint did good things. Frederick did some really good things. After a brutal first half, Garza just, you know, was fairly dominant in the second half. And then all of a sudden it gets away, because every possession matters and every play matters in the Big Ten. And, you know, it's going to take a long time before we see if that game penalizes them in the conference championship race, but boy, that's one you'd sure like to have. At the same time, you know, Illinois lost at Rutgers. Michigan State's lost twice. These teams didn't play their full complement of non-conference games, so I think they're still sorting things out coming into conference play, and maybe that's where Wisconsin has an edge, because they're really not. I mean, their starting five was there a year ago, and they've just picked up where they left off, basically.
You know, this Minnesota game, Mike, we can criticize the Iowa defense all we want, and probably justifiably so, but in Brandon Johnson, I can't imagine that was in the game plan to defend him beyond the three-point range. He'd made two all year. I mean, that's just a freaky thing that happened in my mind.
Yeah, it was. He'd never made more than three in any game in his career, and that was his 100th game. But, I mean, you know, the argument to that is after a guy has made a couple or three,
yeah,
you take him seriously.
You better find him.
And I watched the replay of the overtime, and the dude was open and open and open and open. So, I mean, that's Iowa acknowledges that. They didn't guard him. So, okay. You know, if you stood on a basketball court, look, I can't make three-pointers, but I also know it's not that far from the basket if you're left open and you can shoot. And almost all these guys can do that.
Yeah. Michael Oss joining us here on the Gym Class, Monday edition on KGYM. It's only two games, three games in, depending on who you are. And, yes, there haven't been the usual non-conference schedule and the number of games, but, man alive, this is going to be fun in the Big Ten. There is just no weak link. I mean, you take a look at Nebraska at home, they can – hang with anybody out there. Northwestern is 3-0. I mean, we thought it was going to just be bludgeoning each other every time you go out there. And I honestly believe that's going to be the case.
Yeah. And I think this is something that people are going to sort of come to terms with. In the preseason, you had a lot of Iowa, Illinois, with Wisconsin right up there and Michigan State right up there. But Rutgers is really good. Minnesota's good. Marcus Carr's sensational. That game he had against Iowa, 30 points, that wasn't an aberration. He's been doing that since the season started, more or less. He's I think, fourth in the country in scoring, maybe third.
He's going to be in the NBA.
Yeah. Dosunmu Illinois is fourth in the country in scoring. He's, you know, he's absolutely sensational. Ron Harper at Rutgers is sensational. This Northwestern team that's coming in here tomorrow night, they're good. I mean, I don't know if they're the 19th best team in the country, but they beat two ranked teams last week, and in between those two games, they went on the road and they beat Indiana. That is impressive. They're shooting 42% from three-point. They don't turn the ball over. They defend. So just because nobody said they were going to be any good doesn't mean that they're not good. They are good. And Michigan's good. And Ohio State will beat you if you don't play really well, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So you're right. I mean, nobody's going to go 18-2 in this conference. And you know, it is going to be fun. Every week you're going to have games where people say that was an upset, and then you got to say to yourself, but was it really?
Didn't Wisconsin win it last year with six losses?
It was a three-way tie. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And that's another thing is Wisconsin shared the league title, and they hardly lost a thing. You know, they go up to East Lansing on Christmas and played a great game and won. So that might be the team to beat.
I'm with you. I think Wisconsin has been the most impressive team early on. And Greg Gard, just marvelous coaching game up against Michigan State. And it's so weird to see Michigan State without a lot of height and without a lot of physicality this year. Wisconsin just took them to the basket and just broke them down. And you don't see that.
No, you don't. And that's what Wisconsin does, of course. Demetric Trice is a veteran guard who was so good in that game. And Nate Reavers is a good big man. And Brad Davison, whether you hate him or you really hate him, he just wins. And if he were on your team, you'd love the guy.
Yep.
So they got, you know, they don't have NBA players, but they got good college basketball players.
Mike, I don't know if Sam Paxton was on the desk last night, but you got some pretty good headline writers, and I thought today's lead headline was just really spot on. It said, "Day the Music Died," and it referred to Iowa, Missouri being canceled in the Music City Bowl.
I'll interrupt you, Mark. The person who wrote that is not far away from me right now.
Oh.
His name's Ryan. And I agree with you. That caught my eye immediately this morning, and I thought that was great.
Yeah, it was good.
Well, Sam, the author of the famous Woodshed headline, among others. So those guys are doing a great job, as most of the staff is. So your reaction to that game being canceled?
Well, we talked about it a week ago here, and I think the consensus we had is that it was probably more likely it would be than wouldn't.
Yeah.
I put up a Twitter poll in the middle of last week, and almost 3,000 people responded, and 68% thought that the game wouldn't be played, which turns out a lot of people were pretty smart. I thought it would, because Iowa sounded determined to play it, and I figured, well, if Missouri agreed to do this, they're going to do it. And they did agree to do it, but then they got reassembled on campus, and it's like, well, we can't do it. So, okay. Disappointment in the short term, but I think in the long term, easily forgotten. Ferentz bristles when you say this. The games mean so much to the players, and of course they do. But to the rest of the world, I think I can fill the void over Iowa not playing in a Music City Bowl. And I don't think that history is going to record this as one of the greatest disappointments in Iowa athletics history.
Mm-hmm. I thought you had a great column today talking about it and just kind of chronicling it a little bit. And obviously the slings and arrows are kind of headed toward Columbia yesterday and today. But like we said, and your poll last week was kind of in the middle of, okay, Iowa going through it. and now Missouri is going through it. And Dave Motter from the St. Louis Post-Dispatch had a really good article today. This is a 2020 thing. It's a COVID thing. It's you go 15 minutes by 15 minutes over the last 3 or 4 months. We kept saying that. And, you know, it's the 17th bowl to be canceled. So yeah. this is not a unique situation.
No. And they and Iowa, Kirk Ferentz had a Zoom conference yesterday to talk about it. And he said he was fine, but he was still coughing like crazy and didn't sound fine to me. And, you know, you're working probably 18-hour days under the stress of preparing for a football game. And it's the whole thing just kind of struck me as it didn't feel right. So every game that gets played is going to be a bonus for fans, TV viewers at home. Iowa State's got itself a really nice thing in Arizona in the Fiesta Bowl, and that's a big deal for them and an understandably big deal, and it should be a big deal. But, you know, this is a year when the Independence Bowls and Music City Bowls and Pinstripe Bowls aren't there, and I think we'll all survive the absence very nicely.
Mike, I've tossed this around in my head a little bit. How am I going to remember this 2020 Iowa football team? Of course, COVID fits into it. Iowa made it through 8 games with not only Iowa not initiating any issues, but the opponents didn't either. But the play on the field, I thought it was, even though Iowa didn't beat a team with a winning record, let's not forget that. It beat some teams convincingly after those first two losses. And I guess it was a fun team to watch.
Yeah, it morphed into, I thought, a really fine team. And a lot of people around the country recognized that. They wanted to see Iowa in a better bowl than they were slated. And they thought that it was too good a team to be going to the Music City Bowl. And I would agree with that, although you understand how it happened.
Yeah.
It was just a team that, you know, when you watched it the last 4, 5, 6 games of the season, you said to yourself, that's a good team. You know, and I mean, they got a resounding win over Wisconsin, which you hadn't seen in long time, and went up to Minnesota and, you know, ran amok against the Gophers and won at Penn State, which is never an easy thing to do. I don't care what kind of team Penn State's got. So they got their accomplishments, you know, and they would have won that bowl game handily, I think, even without their two starting wide receivers. I just think they were that much more dominant on both lines than Missouri was. So they didn't need that game to validate them, and I don't think that game would have validated them. They'd already done it. It just wasn't their year in terms of the breaks in getting to play Michigan or getting to play the bowl, but some years you don't get the off-field breaks. There have been years when Iowa was invited to bowl games that were maybe better than they should have been invited to. Well, these things even out over time, I guess. And again, I'll say it didn't matter. Iowa proved itself on the field this year and goes into next year, I would think, feeling pretty good about the state of the football.
My last one for you today, Mike. And speaking of that, I think the state of football in the state of Iowa, pretty good right now. We were talking earlier, can't remember a year, 6 Iowa and Iowa State players making the AP All-American team. That's unprecedented.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, Breece Hall's their first team All-America at Iowa State since Troy Davis in 96. Iowa State had 4 players on the All-America teams. That's something, you know? I mean, that is really something. They had the offensive and defensive players of the year in the Big 12. Tyler Linderbaum, a second-team All-America center. That is really something. What Davion Nixon did, I think people thought Nixon was going to be a good player for them at the start of the year, but nobody was saying this was a potential first-team All-American. He was sensational. Charlie Kohler and Jaquan Bailey were third-team All-Americans for Iowa State. Mike Rose was a second team. You don't really have to add to that. I think that each one of them deserved it. Kohler's been a third-team All-America 2 years in a row. It's what you said, Scott, just a banner year for individual players in this state.
Very true. Very true. All right, Mike, appreciate it, and have fun at Carver tomorrow, and make it down safely, or don't make it down and watch on TV and cover it that way.
I can't believe how these things happen. Last year, the heaviest snowstorms in the corridor were on the nights of Iowa basketball games here.
It's a gift.
Yeah.
Apparently.
Yeah. Just like, it's a gift. Just like Iowa gave Minnesota a gift the other night. That's the kind of gift it is. It's a kick in the head.
Thanks, Mike. Appreciate it.
All right.
Mike Halas. Read his stuff at thegazette.com. Give him a follow on Twitter, at Halas, as we have about 3 minutes remaining here before we set sail today and get you ready for Todd and Alex coming up next with the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. And they'll come your way from 4 o'clock until 6 o'clock right here on KGYM. Some texts out there, 1553. This was the most popular question of the last 24 hours. Can't Iowa play Army instead? Army's in the Liberty Bowl, ladies and gentlemen, and has been for, what, a week?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. They are in the Liberty Bowl. They got a bowl commitment. 7227, if Barta couldn't find a better opponent for the Hawkeyes, he should give up his position on the committee. Yeah, Gary had nothing to do with the Music City Bowl. Gary's the college football playoff committee. Those four. So that's the answer to those questions out there. A lot of basketball stuff here from when will Jordan Bohannon start to kick it in until more about the defense. And a reason mid from 2752, a reason mid-level players have career three-point shooting games against Iowa. Fran does not recruit athletes that can play defense, plain and simple. So a lot of people frustrated about the Iowa defense right now. And hoping it gets better before Northwestern steps on the court tomorrow evening.
Yeah, indeed. And regarding basketball, our poll question today at KGYMRadio.com has to deal with the number one team in the country. Will Gonzaga remain so through the end of the regular season? Yes or no? Thanks to Steve Anderson and his crew at Hawkeye Title and Settlement in Iowa City, and the fact that Gonzaga largely has a conference schedule remaining, I would guess so.
Yeah, still have to go to BYU. They lost their last year. BYU is a good team. St. Mary's is a good team. They'll have to go down there to California, but looking pretty good for them. By the way, can we all say yes, Gonzaga can now hit three-pointers after they hit about 300 of them against Virginia? Virginia gave up nearly 100 points to Gonzaga, and Virginia is recognized as maybe the top Power 5 defensive team in the country.
Yeah, and Gonzaga's beaten four or five top 10 teams already?
First school to
beat impressive.
Five top 20 teams in the history of college basketball. I believe I read that this weekend. So, all right, more on the bowl cancellation, more on Iowa-Minnesota fallout, and that's coming up next from 4 o'clock until 6 o'clock with Todd and Alex as they take you on the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn right here on KGYM. Again, winter storm warning going into effect tomorrow, upwards of 5-plus inches of snow. Mark, enjoy the night. We'll talk to you tomorrow when we take a look back at 2020.
That sounds good. I'll talk to you then.
You already know Network Computer Solutions protects your network and computers, but did you know they can also protect your business with a security system? NCS offers everything: camera systems, door access, key fob entrance cards, even 24-hour video surveillance. They understand how important security is to your work and your people, so they